Welcome to the 400th episode of Stating the Obvious podcast. I should make a list of all the lies you hear on this podcast, such as this ever classic lie. We're not going to waste any time today, and we're going to get right to the subject matter without any tangenting. How many times have you heard that lie while listening to this podcast? Let's see, this is a 400th episode, so probably 320 times? You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, wear a pussy hat. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trump and Furious cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. All your safe space are belong to us. Yes, welcome. Welcome to Stating the Obvious podcast. I am the great one himself. I am the founder. And you can go fuck yourself. This is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile. My intellect comes in and destroys stupid motherfucking statist all around the motherfucking world. Does not matter what kind of statist you are. You can be a left-wing statist, a right-wing statist. You can be a femistatist. You can be a homo statist. You can be a GLBTKKK statist. You can be a global warming wacko statist. You can be a statheist. You could be an anarcho-sissy. You can be an anarcho-communist. You can be all of those things. Today we're going to go back to making fun of the cyber statist. We're going to get back to talking about the book, The Internet is Not the Answer by Andrew Keen. And we're not going to tangent, we're going to get straight to the subject matter. So now you've heard that lie 321 times. Alright, so let me see, what was I going to talk about real quick? Because I want to do some really fast. We know how that works, right? It's going to be really fast. Okay, so first of all, summer is coming up. It's getting warm here in the People's Republic of Colorado. Yesterday, it was damn near 70 degrees. I was out on the hiking trail, went biking, did a little bit of trail running, but I couldn't go too far because, as you may or may not remember, if you've been listening to the cast, I had the bicycle wreck a while back. And I still got some injuries. My foot is still swollen up. So anyhow, I attempted trail running on a swollen foot. It wasn't too bad on the level ground. It started hurting a little bit, so I decided not to go up the side of the mountain where it's really rocky because there's no reason to kill myself. So I'm just taking it easy. And whoa, shit, I had to get up this morning and go instantly into work, getting shit done for work. And then we're instantly into recording the podcast. In the control room on the other side of the glass, the lovely and adorable Randy. I am the great one himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSSC.com on the interwebs. You can send us email at God, that's dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSSC.com. And today is the 17th of February in the year of the Trump and Führer 2017. In which we have learned that while for 8 years, when Obama murdered Muslims with missiles launched from flying robots, that was totally okay because nobody on the left side of the spectrum, the political spectrum, gave a flying fuck about Muslims. But now that the Trumpenfuhrer is president, why all of a sudden Muslims are important. So let me say this right. When the Trumpenfuhrer tells Muslims they can't come into the United States for 90 days, this is like Adolf Hitler. When Hussein Obama, the Messiah, the first half-breed president, murders Muslims, women, children, innocent Muslims, with missiles launched from flying robots, well, he is the Messiah, and he has a Nobel Peace Prize, and if you disagree with him, you're a racist. Also, I saw this on the Twitterverse. I just saw the thing scrolling by. I don't know any details. I'll find out some details later on. So now, those of you, you social justice warriors and you fucking pussy hat wearing cunts, apparently now you're attacking PewDiePie? PewDiePie is a white supremacist? Is there anything you people, I use the term people loosely, will not do for attention? Is there? I mean, PewDiePie? D- Do any of you people have jobs? Do any of you have any reason to live other than voting Democrat? This is a serious question. Do you have any purpose on the planet Earth other than voting Democrat? And I'm just so tired of listening to all of you women. Like this one friend of mine, like every time I see her, she has to bring up Donald Trump. I'm excited to see, excuse me. I'm excited for the next time we're going to run into each other because I figured out how I'm going to approach this. I'm going to ask her, you know, are you ever going to move past your obsession with Donald Trump? And she's going to tell me, of course, that she's not obsessed with Donald Trump. And I'm going to explain to her that, no, every time I see you, you talk about Donald Trump. You can't not talk about Donald Trump. And I'm going to tell her, and she's going to fucking lose her shit, that the reason she's obsessed with Donald Trump is because she wants his sperm to fertilize her eggs. Donald Trump is an alpha male. She is a woman. She is biologically programmed to make babies with alpha males. And I'm just going to watch her freak out. So I'll let you guys know how that goes. Other thing, so I in a bar the other day and meet this hot chick. She's adorable, gorgeous as hell. So, and she says unto me, guys, I can't make this up. She asked me, is 3/5 the same as, is 4/5 the same as 3/4? And I'm like, oh my God. And she says, I'm not any good at math. I'm an, say it with me, are we ready? 3, 2, 1, English major. You didn't see that one coming, did you? I'm not good at, is 4/5 the same as 3/4? I'm not any good at math. I'm an English major. I'm serious. That's the quote. Okay. That is what she said unto me. Is 4/5 the same as 3/4? I'm not any good at math. I'm an English major. That is the fucking quote. Word for word, I promise you. Guess what she... So we talked, because of course I'd stick my dick inside of her, so I talked to her. Take a wild guess. Take a wild guess. Okay, sorry, deep breath. Yeah, maybe you had to be there. Maybe it's not that funny, but take a wild guess. What she wants to do with her English degree after she graduates college. Let's all say it together, okay? 3, 2, 1. I want to be a teacher. Okay, and then it occurred to me, you know, yes, the millennials are stupid. As I've said before, it's not entirely their fault. Can you not see the problem here? When we have, when I was a kid, when I was in high school, like, all of my teachers were old people who, at the absolute very least, they had some kind of fucking life experience. When you look at public school system today and you wonder why it's so shitty. Okay, so you've got this girl. She doesn't know the difference between 4/5 and 3/4. She's an English major. She's going to graduate with her diploma at, 22. Maybe 24. How long does it take to get a fucking degree in English? Like, what, 7 or 8 minutes? So she graduates at 22. Let's say she fucks around for a year. So she graduates at 23. It takes her a year to get a job as a teacher. So she's 20. So there's this 24-year-old girl with no life experience who doesn't know the difference between 4/5 and 3/4 teaching 14-year-old children. What the fuck can a 14-year-old child learn from a 24-year-old bimbo with an English degree who doesn't know the difference between 4/5 and 3/4? The answer is nothing. So when you're wondering why children today are so stupid, the answer is because old people have failed them. That's why they're stupid. As much as I hate the millennials, let me remind you, it's not entirely their fault. Old people have failed them. And this, to those of you on the alt-right, this is why you have not won the war. You only won a battle when the Trumpenfuhrer was elected. In the next 4 years, there are going to be a shit ton more stupid, idiot, fucking ignorant of the world, fucking little children who think they know things because they've been quote-unquote taught by 24-year-old bimbos who don't know the difference between 4/5 and 3/4. And the vast majority of those little pieces of shit are all going to vote Democrat. The stupid people, the parasites, outnumber the productive people. The winning of the Trumpenfuhrer was almost certainly, as much as it's going to pain you to hear me say this, because it's true, right? Just like when you say to a social justice warrior, there's only two genders, male and female, and they fucking get all upset and fucking start shaking and pee themselves. This is the same thing for those of you on the alt-right. The Trumpenfuhrer, it was mostly luck. There may have been some skill, okay? It was mostly luck. You won the battle. But the stupid people outnumber you. And 4 years from now, they are going to come. And there's an excellent chance the Trumpenfuhrer will not be president anymore. And the retaliation, which is not to say, oh, because there's going to be a retaliation. This isn't to say the Trumpenfuhrer shouldn't do the shit and everything. Do what you're doing. Just understand the retaliation is coming. Understand Western civilization is over. Understand that white people will be assaulted, discriminated against, hated, all of this other stuff for the rest of my life, for the rest of your life. It isn't until the economic collapse happens and people are starving in the street, and then when everybody is fucking hasn't had a bath in a month and there's no food and there's no electricity, then the white people can go off and found their own little communities in Ancapadice and build things back up for themselves. And over time, the same thing will happen. Just like Western civilization, a bunch of white people got together, they did shit, and now all the parasites are showing up. And it's the white people's fault. Remember, we white people fucking gave women the right to vote. White people fucking created the welfare state. Everything you look around you and you see the decline of Western civilization. Notice how I'm not tangenting today and going directly to talking about the book. Everything you see about the decline of Western civilization around you, all the declination, is that a word? Declination? All the declination of Western civilization, ultimately, and this is the difference between white men and all the rest of you as we take responsibility. It's all our fault. We didn't control our women. We didn't control our borders. We didn't control our government. We didn't control our military-industrial complex. We didn't control our corporations. White men in North America are responsible for their own death because white men in North America are the only fucking humans on the planet who are ever responsible for themselves. Nobody else can be responsible. Everybody else, why, they're oppressed persons. They can't be responsible for their actions. If you think you can hold a woman or a fucking minority accountable for their actions, well, that's racist. Okay, see, that was called not tangenting. That's what not tangenting looks like around here. And hold on, that's actually a pretty important email. Okay. Fantastic, I got that. And then, in order to avoid more tangenting, none of you care about, and that's fine, you're not supposed to care about the fucking tangenting of my personal life. I'm going to close the email program. Today I am drinking another Tank 7 Farmhouse Ale from Boulevard Brewing Company, which I saw where Boulevard Brewing Company was from, and then I forgot. Oh, wait, it says right here. Hey, it's right here on the label in front of me. Kansas City. This is one of my new favorite beers. All right. Was there anything else I really need to tangent about? Let's see. Trail running was great. PewDiePie is a white supremacist now because left-wing statists don't have a fucking life. Girls who major in English don't know the difference between 3/4 and 4/5. Seems like there was something. Oh! Never. It's not even worth it. All right, here we go. The Internet is Not the Answer by Andrew Keen. Where the fuck did I leave off? I finished this. Page 107. Top of page, trust poll. For us, however, Instagram, whether or not it remains the second plot line of the networked generation, is a useful symbol of everything that has gone wrong with our digital culture over the last quarter of a century. I update, therefore I am, I once wrote, half jokingly, about the existential dilemma created by our obsession with social media. Unfortunately, however, the idea that our existence is proven by our tweets or our Instagram moments is no longer very funny. As the Financial Times' Guantum Makili warned about our selfie-centric culture, quote, if we have no thought to tweet or photo to post, we basically cease to exist, unquote. Now, where have you heard this before? Oh, I do believe you've heard it from the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the Internet since 1999, podcasting for 12 years, 400th episode of Stating the Obvious podcast, not counting my other podcast, Anarchy Moment, Cult of Personality, and the upcoming podcast, which I still haven't launched and I've been fucking around with and delaying for over a year, but it's coming. That's what she said. It's coming. Where have you heard this before? I do believe you've read this in the articles of CLSology, which are available on the website, CYNLIBSOC.com. Click on the tab up at the top, Articles of CLSology, and prepare to have your fucking feelings hurt. If we have no thought to tweet or photo to post, we basically cease to exist. What have I said about women and feminized men? If they are not receiving attention, they cease to exist. Have I not said unto you, the listeners of this podcast, probably 40 times by now, a woman is like Schrodinger's cat. If she is not being observed, she does not exist. No wonder. I'm making noises there. No wonder. Don't make noises when you're recording, dumbass. No wonder that when the New York Times columnist Charles Blow, I'm glad my name isn't Charles Blow, Charles Blow calls the selfie generation of millennial 18 to 33-year-olds has had so much lower levels of trust than previous generations. With a 2014 Pew Research Center report showing that only 19% of millennials trust others, compared with 31% of Gen Xers and 40% of boomers. After all, if we can't even trust our own existence without Instagramming it, then who can we trust? Now, I find this interesting because, of course, millennials are also the generation that can't shut the fuck up about how diverse they are, how tolerant they are, how much they care about community, and all this other shit. And yet, and again, if you've listened to this podcast, you know I'm the first one to tell you every opinion poll has a problem with it. all opinion polls are fake, all opinion polls are false, even the ones you agree with, there's always some element of truth, but there's always elements of bullshit as well. Nonetheless, here's an opinion poll that says only 19% of millennials trust other people. And you're the ones who can't shut the fuck up about community. Well, if you fucking value community and shit so much, why do you not trust other people? And again, sure, I understand. It's because you're a bunch of fucking... And again, I think a part of this is, as I love to talk about, projection. I mean, millennials look at themselves. They know that deep down inside, they are pieces of shit. And because we all project who and what we are on other people, they take their piece of shitness and they project it upon other people. And if other people are pieces of shit, well, of course you wouldn't trust other people. I have in my notes here. Oh, wait, what is this? Hello, this is page 108. I have in my notes here that this is where I'm supposed to mention the following thing. This is what I wrote down. The internet was supposed to make us smarter. Wrong. Give a stupid person an internet connection and you don't get a smart person. You merely get a stupid person with an internet connection. So this is where I need to re-emphasize one of the Between the last podcast I recorded about this book and a couple of days ago, I thought of something which I had not previously thought of when reading and discussing this book. Now, if you remember correctly from the first three episodes in this series, I had pointed out that Andrew Keen uses the word libertarian to label people he doesn't like in the same sort of written tonality that you would use words like kike or spick or nigger or chink or gook, right? He uses it as this dirty word to label and attack people he disagrees with without ever actually disagreeing with their philosophies or thoughts, or, as I pointed out, even defining what exactly a libertarian is. And as I have said, libertarian is a word that really doesn't mean anything anymore, right? You got Glenn Beck calling himself a libertarian. You got Ron Paul calling himself a libertarian. You got Rand Paul calling himself a libertarian. You got Julie Berensky calling herself a libertarian. And there's plenty of other people who want to claim that they are libertarians. Libertarian doesn't really mean anything. This is why when I talk about the political spectrum, I always remind you that ultimately, and you know, you can use these words like right-wing and left-wing and conservative and liberal and libertarian and minarchist and all of this stuff. If you're having some kind of definition for them, you know, they can create this, you have this political spectrum, and those labels can define, you know, areas on the political spectrum which have fuzzy borders. Okay, the labels are not unuseful in casual conversation, even to a point in philosophical conversation. Those sorts of labels of the political spectrum are useful. But ultimately, in the end, when you get to actual philosophy and when you get to words that have firm, solid meanings and boundaries, it's just like gender. It's a fucking binary. You're a man or a woman. Yes, every once in a while somebody's born who has a fucking vagina and a penis. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the 99.99999999% boy, girl, binary. Political spectrum. Statist or anarchist? Binary. You either want government. It doesn't matter how small you think the government should be, because that's a fantasy. That's you masturbating. That's your little masturbatory fantasy where, well, the government's going to be small and they're only going to do important. That's you masturbating, okay? You're either a statist or an anarchist. And it's a fucking binary. And there is a very clear, non-nebulous, non-fuzzy wall around both of those. You either want a government or you do not want a government. You want the state or you don't want the state. Now, of course, if we're doing philosophy or anything, at this point we have to do things like define what is government, what is state, blah, blah, blah. But we're not going down that path right now. I'm just pointing out that there's definitions here. So Andrew Keen writes this book and he attacks libertarians without defining what libertarians are. And it occurred to me that the title of his book is The Internet is Not the Answer. And you can go to cls.link, that's cls.link, and you can click on some of the links there and you could buy this book from Amazon.com and I could get some money from that. And that'd be great, because if you're listening to the podcast and you're not giving me money, you're stealing. And the fact that I put them on the internet for free doesn't really matter. I can just create, you know, I'm like a left-wing statist. I can just make up whatever the fuck I want. Like, I woke up one day and I said, oh my God, look, PewDiePie is on YouTube and he's white. He must be a racist. He must be a white supremacist because he's on YouTube. And he's white, and he's popular. So I can just create my own reality at any time. It could be anything I want. And of course, I can do this because you may think that I'm a heterosexual white man. I'm actually, the thing is, I identify as a transgendered Muslim woman. And if you disagree with me, well, then you're a racist and you're Islamophobic. Anyhow, the title of his book, which you can buy from Amazon.com via cls.link, is The Internet is Not the Answer. At no point in the book does he distinctly define the question. He says the internet is not the answer, okay, but what is the question? He never really tells us, or if he did, I missed it, which, you know, is possible. I am a human. I am fallible. If he tells us what the question is in this book, then I missed it. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It simply serves as a reminder to us that asking the right question is important. And some of the questions I think we can ask about to which we were told the internet was the answer. Some of these questions are questions such as, how can we facilitate more diversity in the world? How can we facilitate more understanding of other perspectives in the world? How can we make democracy stronger? You know, excuse me while I puke. You know, how can, and of course there's the thing which he talks about, you know, how can more people get more access to information? How can people become smarter? How can more people take their own destiny in their hands and make money? You know, how can musicians sell their music to their fans without the corporations? How can authors publish their books without having to go through the gatekeepers of the big publishing houses? Right? And while I'm not saying there are, of course, musicians who sell their stuff on the internet and make lots of money, Justin Bieber. There are people who publish their books, self-publish their books, sell them on the internet, and perhaps make a lot of money. I mean, my understanding, I'm not a fucking scholar on this, I don't have a PhD in young adult climate change fiction, but my understanding is that 50 Shades of Grey started off as the woman was writing online fan fiction, and it was in the Twilight universe, and then she changed it, you know, and it morphed into Buck. So I'm not saying, you know, and then certainly there are some people who don't know things and they go to the internet and they educate themselves. I'm not saying you can't sell your music on the internet and make money. I'm not saying you can't get started on the internet and make a lot of money. I'm not saying you can't sell. I'm saying for the vast majority of people, these promises did not come true. For the vast majority of people, the internet is not the answer to becoming smarter. For the 99%, the internet is not the answer to making more money. For the 99%, the internet is not the answer to understanding viewpoints and worldviews different than your own, because nobody has an interest in that. Nobody is interested. Okay, so I wasn't going to talk about this, but now I'm going to mention it. Because I'm sick of seeing this shit. On the Twitterverse, you see the fucking liberals talking. So, you ever notice how, okay, when the Democrats win the election, it's always like, yeah, see, we're better than you. But every time they lose, do you notice the first thing Democrats start saying is, well, we need to all come together and we need to talk to each other and we need to understand each other's viewpoints. I saw one on the Twitterverse today where some fucking angry pussy hat wearing cunt tweeted something to the effect of, if Republicans would just shut up and listen to other people for a change, maybe they would understand their viewpoints. And I'm thinking, when the fuck has any fucking cunt, fucking pussy hat wearing, left-wing statist, femistatist cunt bitch who hates white men, when has any of those bitches ever shut the fuck up and tried listening to their political opponents? The answer is never. And all of those fucking pussy hat wearing cunts have the fucking internet. Okay? No, the understanding worldviews different than your own? No, the internet is not the answer to that. The internet is not helping any motherfucker out there understand worldviews that are different than theirs. Okay, again, I'm going to go too far. I'm not saying there are some people. There is a small number of people out there. A tiny number who, via the internet, are expanding their brains. This promise, the internet is not the answer, my friends. This promise that we received years ago, how the internet was going to revolutionize education. You'd be able to go on the internet and you'd be able to get educations for free and you could learn things and maybe you could go to Khan Academy and you can go on YouTube and you can learn all this stuff. Do you notice? And now I'm not saying you can't learn things for free on the internet. You absolutely can. Just follow me here. Here's what I'm saying. Do you notice that the Medicaid generation, the millennials, the smartest generation ever, are they going to the internet? And I know there's exceptions. I'm talking about the majority. Are they going to the internet and getting an education for free? Or are they taking out student loans, going to college, majoring in English, not being able to tell the difference between 4/5 and 3/4, and then spending the rest of their lives working as waitresses, trying to pay off their student loan? They're going to college. The vast majority, yes, there are the millennials who go on the fucking internet and learn how to write computer code and then start writing fucking cell phone apps and sell them. And all, and yes, yes, those people exist. But for 90% of the population, the internet is not the answer to getting a low-cost education. And the millennials, they know the internet exists. Granted, they don't. We're reaching the point where they actually don't know how to use it. Right, I told you guys long ago about the 18-year-old girl I was working with her, and I'm like, we need you to do this on Facebook. She says, I don't know how. I said, well, type it into Google and figure out how to do this. And she says, well, I don't know how. And I said, yes. So I'm saying, use Google, find someone who teaches. She says, no, I don't know how to use Google. Let me say that again for those of you who think you misunderstood me. I was told by an 18-year-old girl when I told her to search for something on Google, she said unto me, I don't know how to use Google. I can't make this up. Not in my wildest dreams could I make this up, people. This is the future of America. This is the medicated generation. These are the future teachers of the children. They don't know how to use Google. This is why, those of you on the alt-right, when I say to you, you won the battle but lost the war, and you think it's because I hate you or something, no, it's because I can fucking observe reality and I don't have these fucking orange-colored glasses on like you do with your fucking celebration of the Trump and Fuhrer's victory. Yes, I'm happy that Trump and Fuhrer won. I am happy Hillary Clinton lost. I am enjoying the fuck out of seeing every social justice warrior piece of shit, cunt, fucking pussy, herring, wet, fucking piece of shit around me fucking piss themselves and freak out. This is going to be that. Some of the best 4 years of my life. The entertainment value is beyond my ability to describe with words. But you have not won the war. Because the people who are going to become old enough to vote over the next 4 years are some of the dumbest humans. And I use the term human loosely. These are some of the dumbest people that have ever lived in history. And they are going to vote for whatever Democrat the Democrats dredge up. They are going to vote for that. They don't know why. They don't understand why. They don't know. We did this one where I had the fucking play the shit from the Cato podcast where the woman was some of the millennials. Millennials are like socialism, but they don't know what the word socialism means. I mean, they don't know what socialism is. They don't know what capitalism is. They don't know what free market is. They've never read the Constitution. They know nothing. They don't know the fucking difference between 4/5 and 3/4, and they don't know how to use Google. These are voters, and they are not going to vote for Donald Trump in 4 years. They're not. You won the battle. You and I and Western civilization and white people have lost the war. Giving a stupid person an internet connection does not make them smarter. The internet is not the answer to that question. When you have a stupid person and you give the stupid person an internet connection, all you have is a stupid person with an internet connection. If you put me in an operating theater, that's a operating room. They're actually called operating theaters in a hospital. I've worked in hospitals before. If you put me in an operating theater and you gown me up and you sterilize me and you glove me up and you give me the scalpels and all this gear and you put the patient on the gurney in front of me and you have some nurses standing there and you got the anesthesiologist and the anesthesiologist puts the person on the surgical table under, I've got everything there. I still can't do a fucking appendectomy. I can't. You can give me all the fucking tools, but I don't have the knowledge to do an appendectomy. You can give the millennials an internet connection, but they don't have the intelligence or the critical thinking skills to use the internet connection to become smarter. The internet is not the answer. Yes, you can go on the internet and you can become rich. The chick who wrote 50 Shades of Grey. Justin Bieber. Who else didn't? Oh my God, and then there's a thing, Carlos Santana and fucking Beyonce, where he said she didn't have any talent. That's why she went. Oh my God, did you see that? Have you seen the social going wild over that? I mean, Beyonce is basically just a fucking scantily clad whore. No, I mean, I've heard a little bit of Adele has some talent. I can give it to her. She's, you know, she's not terrible. Was it Adele, or am I thinking about someone else? Because I'm again, if you're new to the, I am not up on pop culture. I'm just not. And that's not, I'm not saying that as some kind of insult. I'm just not up on what is currently popular. TV shows, music, all this stuff. Because I don't watch television, I don't listen to the radio, I don't stream music on the internet, any of this shit. I play my Led Zeppelin CDs and my Pink Floyd, you know, and I watch my fucking, I'm watching Babylon 5 series again for the third or fourth time, whatever, right? So I'm not up on what's currently. Didn't Adele get her start on the internet? Or am I thinking about someone else? But okay, but yes, there are people out there who get their start on the internet and they make a lot of money. But for the 90% or more, the internet is not the answer to making money. Because even with the internet, you have to do work. Okay, Justin Bieber, I've never heard a Justin Bieber song in my life. At least not that I know of. Unless it was playing, I didn't know who he was. Okay. I don't like Justin Bieber. I don't know anything about Justin. I know nothing about Justin Bieber other than, you know, making fun of him for being Justin Bieber. But to be honest for a moment, I'm pretty fucking sure, and I could be wrong. I'm willing to be wrong about this, but I'm going to venture a guess. Actually, it's not a guess. It's a swag. If you don't know what a swag is, that's a scientific wild ass guess. I'm going to venture a swag that Justin Bieber did not become popular by being lazy. He may have used the internet, but I'm willing to bet he put a huge amount of effort behind that. He created music that some, not maybe not me, but people liked. He created videos, maybe not me, but that other people liked. And doing those things took some talent, and it took some effort, and it took some dedication. He probably missed sleep a few nights. The 90%, you give them the internet, but they're not willing to do the work necessary. The internet is not the answer. All right, where are we on time? Okay, I think maybe I can make this happen. Let's see if we can wrap up this next section. And yes, it will quite obviously be a part. This is part 4. There'll be a part 5 and a part 6, I can promise you. Maybe even a part 7. Page 108. Hello, this is us. Page 110. Got it. All right. Yeah, we can. I can totally get this in. It's amount of time left. Hello, this is us, Instagram is saying about our species. And I, for one, don't like what I'm seeing. It wasn't supposed to turn out this way. Oh, this is brilliant. This segues right in. I actually didn't read ahead. I made these notes days ago. Weeks ago. The internet, we were promised by entrepreneurs like Kevin Systrom and relentlessly cheerful futurists like Steven Johnson, was going to, quote, capture the world's moments, unquote, and create a global village, thereby making us all more open-minded, progressive, and intelligent. Kids, not that I didn't just talk about this for 10 fucking minutes, but no, the internet cannot, will not, cannot make people more open-minded, progressive, and intelligent. You give a fucking pussy hat-wearing cunt who's never had a job in her life and thinks that she's entitled to free stuff because she can make babies. She never has made babies, mind you. I love this about feminists. Feminists think that they're entitled to special privileges because they're women and they make babies. Okay, but if you're a woman and you actually haven't made a baby, like if you're a woman and you've actually made a baby, I can at least take you seriously to a point when you say unto me, you deserve special privileges because you make babies. Okay, you made a baby. We can have a rational discussion about whether or not you should get privileges because you made a baby. Totally okay with that. But when a fucking feminist cunt who's never made a baby comes up and acts like she should get special privileges because women make babies. No. Women don't make babies. Those other women made babies. You didn't. One particularly nostalgic futurist, the Edmunds erudite digital editor Tom Standage, even believes that the web is making us like our civic-minded ancestors in Roman antiquity. In his provocative 2013 book entitled Writing on the Wall, Standage argues that, quote, history is retweeting itself, unquote, and that social networks like Facebook, Twitter and Instagram are transforming us into inheritors of what he calls Cicero's web. But what is even faintly Ciceroian about Instagram's unadulterated voyeurism, which the Times' Alex Williamson notes encourages us to, quote, create art-directed magazine layouts of our lives as if suddenly everyone is Diana Vreeland, unquote. I don't know who Diana Vreeland is, but maybe she's hot. Oh shit, we're not going to make it. We're going to have to go over. Randy, just prepare. Hold the closing music. And what, I wonder, would Cicero, that stoical Republican, think about the rich kids of Instagram with their snaps of a teenager's, quote, this is how the pimps roll, unquote, Ferrari, and, quote, reptile, unquote, shoe collection, or the photo of a wealthy young woman, head lost in an ocean of her Chanel and Hermes bags. A Standage may be right about the writing being on the wall, but if antiquity really is retweeting itself, it's in the form of the Greek myth of Narcissus. Nicholas Carr famously argued in his 2011 book, The Shallows, book which I discussed on this podcast, a book which if you have not read, you should absolutely positively read this book. I also got to hear Nicholas Carr talk. He gave a presentation here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. The book is The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains or to Our Minds, something like that. Anyway, Nicholas Carr, C-A-R-R. The book is called The Shallows. If you give even a slight fuck about the effect of the internet, what it does, you know, blah, 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 I cannot recommend this book highly enough. I'm serious. You fucking need to read this book. You can go to cls.link, and it's listed over there. You can click on the link, buy it from Amazon. I can get a little bit of fucking money, and then I won't have to sell my body on the street corner anymore, especially because that's not really working out very well because not many chicks are taking me up on it. God damn it. Anyway, well, that's probably because they're racist, sexist, and homophobic, though. I mean, after all, it couldn't have anything to do with me. The fact that women aren't paying me for sex couldn't possibly be my fault. It's obviously got to be some sort of symptom of the patriarchy oppressing me because I'm not conforming to the gender binary and I'm creating my own gender. That's probably what's going on. Nicholas Carr famously argued in his 2011 book, The Shallows, a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, that the web is shortening our attention spans and making our minds less focused and more superficial. If you think that's not true, if you think that internet use does not make your mind less focused and make you more superficial, there's only two possibilities. Possibility number one is that you don't use the internet very much. Possibility number two is that you're stupid. I use the internet. I can tell you for a fact, it fucking destroys my attention span. It's a fact. This is like the gender binary. It's a fact. Okay, this is like global warming is not real because the climate of the planet Earth has always fucking changed since the planet Earth has existed. Okay, it's a fucking fact. This is like you're either a statist or an anarchist. It's not an opinion, it's a fucking fact. Internet use makes your fucking brain less able to focus. It's not an opinion, it's a fact. No, you cannot multitask. Shut the fuck up, you goddamn millennial. Probably. But the personal revolution is certainly making us more parochial and unworldly. Just as Instagram enables us to take photos that are dishonest advertisements for ourselves, which is a perfect illustration of what Instagram is. Dishonest advertisements. Dishonest advertisements for ourselves. That is Instagram in five words. So search engines like Google provide us with links to sites tailored to confirm our mostly ill-informed views about the world. Eli Pariser, P-A-R-I-S-E-R, the former president of MoveOn.org, describes the echo chamber, and that's, you don't get much more leftist than MoveOn.org, describes the echo chamber effect of the personalized algorithms as, quote, the filter bubble, unquote. The internet might be a village, Pariser says, but there's nothing global about it. This is confirmed by a 2013 study by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology showing that the vast majority of internet and cell phone communications takes place inside a 100-mile radius of our homes, and by a 2014 Pew Research and Rutgers University report revealing that social media actually stifles debate between people of different opinions. Wait, so when you go on Facebook and you publish a meme of how anyone who voted for Donald Trump is a racist, you mean that stifles political debate? Really? I'm fucking shocked. I can't believe. Once again, science and research proves things that those of us who aren't stupid already knew. But the reality of the web is probably even more selfie-centric than the MIT report suggests. With more than a quarter of all smartphone use taking place on Facebook and Instagram, most web communications these days actually takes place inside that intimate 300-millimeter radius between our faces and our mobile device. And here's the other thing. When you say that all the... A quarter of all smartphone use is on Facebook and Instagram. And Facebook and Instagram are both these closed communities. Instagram less so, Instagram is, again, people falsely advertising themselves. But Facebook is this closed community where dissenting opinions are censored, both in the sense that they are removed from Facebook by the Facebook censorship, but also in the sense that what you see in your newsfeed is controlled by the algorithms based on the stuff you've previously looked at, right? So saying that I went on Facebook today and I'm educated, I learned something. No, you didn't. Facebook is this gated community where you're only exposed to people you already agree with. The real myth is that we are communicating at all. I couldn't agree more. The truth, of course, is that we are mostly just talking to ourselves on these supposedly social networks. In her best-selling 2011 book, the MIT professor Sherry Turkle describes this condition as being, quote, alone together, unquote. It's a brilliantly terse description of an internet in which the more social we become, the more we connect and communicate and collaborate, the lonelier we become. Again, I completely agree. You get on you're not interacting with other people. You're interacting with these false aspects of other people. You're interacting with other people's advertisements of themselves. You're interacting with the things that the Facebook algorithm is showing you. And you're most certainly not interacting with the world around you. Yeah, I remember the good old days when, back when I was your age, I remember when you could walk down the sidewalk and nobody had like headphone, earplugs, headphones, whatever, and nobody had cell phones to look at. And you walk down the sidewalk and look at other people. They'd look at you. You could make eye contact and smile. Now, everyone you walk past, not everyone, again, exaggeration, 60% of the people I walk past on the sidewalk, they're either looking at a cell phone, or they've got their fucking earphones in, or they've got their earphones in and they're looking at their cell phone, or they're walking along and they're talking. And nowadays, when you don't even hold a cell phone up to your mouth anymore because you've got the little fucking headset thingy. I'm not even talking about the stupid Bluetooth that sticks in your ear, which is just one of the gayest things I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, one time I saw these two gay guys on a bench holding hands and I thought that was gay, but then I saw a heterosexual man with that little Bluetooth thing stuck in his ear. It's like, that was way fucking gayer than the two gay guys. Where you've got like the little iPod, you know, thing, and they stick in each ear and it hangs down and it's got the microphone on it, I guess. I don't know. I don't own one. I don't even know how they work. But people walk down the sidewalk and they're like talking and there's no one around them. It's like, are you like schizophrenic? Or are you talking on a phone? I don't even know anymore. And these people, they're not paying attention to their surroundings. This is why, hold on. Window is open. Cute girl. Let me see. She's not undoable. She's not unfuckable. Let me put it that way. That's sure she's fuckable, but she's not unfuckable. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, I go out in public, I look at other people. I notice that other people exist. And it just amazes me to see people walking around in public just blissfully, not even say blissfully, well, no, they are blissful. Blissfully unaware of their surroundings. Like, I have sat there and watched people walk past money, not like a penny, I mean, like $20 bills. I've seen people walk past $20 bills and $5 bills laying on the sidewalk because they don't look around them. Again, maybe part of this is because I was in the military. I was in the infantry, right? When I walk into a room I'm not familiar with, I start looking for the exits and I start looking for the ambush points and shit like that. You know, I'm walking around. I look up. Is there somebody above me? Is there sniper positions? You know, if someone starts shooting, what am I going to hide behind? I look up. I look down. I look around me. I am aware of my surroundings almost all the time, especially out in public, walking down the street. I pay attention. I'm looking around all the time and noticing things. And I see so many people around me, they're just walking down the sidewalk and they're texting. They have no awareness of their surroundings. None. And I think this is a big part of why they're so fucking lonely. Because they go through their life glued to the device and completely ignoring the other humans around them. And yet, for all its sad narcissistic inanity, and even sadder existential angst, it would be a mistake to see Instagram's problems in primarily cultural terms. Selfie culture is a big enough lie, but it's actually billions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of jobs less dishonest than the economics of selfie culture. And it's here, in the quantifiable realm of jobs, wages, and profit, that we can find the most disturbing implications of the shift from the Kodak to the Instagram moment. All right, we'll be back with the next part, and we'll talk about that. I'll have to talk about the whole Kodak thing. He goes into that extensively. It's a very interesting path of thought. It's a very interesting path of thought. So we'll get to that next time around. All right, thanks a lot.